Live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth, who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Tuesday on this 12th day of November 2019. Wow, I must really be sleep deprived. I'm so thrilled to have back on the program a returning guest who has just begun a regular feature on our program. He has a podcast titled Today in Church History, HIS-STORY, and we have adopted that as our own here on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio as well by inviting Pastor Andrew back on at least once a month to highlight a significant moment or a significant event or a series of events that have taken place in church history. And we are trying to conduct these interviews on the very date, whenever possible, of these historic, monumental events. But Pastor Andrew is the pastor of Christ Reformed Community Church of St. John's, Florida. And today we are going to be addressing the arrest of John Bunyan. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Pastor Andrew Smith.
Thank you, Chris. It's always such a privilege and a pleasure to be on this radio program with you.
And the pleasure is all mine as well. And if you could, as we always do, for those of our listeners especially who have not heard you on this program, please tell us about Christ Reformed Community Church of St. John's, Florida.
Sure. We are an independent, reformed, confessional congregation situated in between St. Augustine, Florida and Jacksonville, Florida. We're in the county of St. John's, which is where the city of St. Augustine is located, but our church is actually closer to the Jacksonville area. So we live in an area which is high growth, a lot of people moving to the state of Florida, a lot of people moving to this area. And so a lot of times the folks that end up being part of our church are people that hear my sermons online. As a matter of fact, we have a sweet, precious couple, Mike and Janet, who are moving from the state of Mississippi down to St. John's County so they can be part of our church. And they heard some sermons online and had been listening to my preaching for several months, and we didn't even know who they were. And in God's sovereign grace, they came and visited, and now they're moving to St. John's County. So we're grateful for that. We're grateful to serve the Lord where we're at and be faithful to the Scriptures. And yeah, so that's who we are.
First of all, let me give my listeners our email address if they want to join us on the air with a question. It is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. 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 And please, as always, give us your first name, at least your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. As we already said, we are discussing today, commemorating today in church history, the arrest of John Bunyan. Why don't you explain a little bit of detail for our listeners who are clueless about John Bunyan, who this great hero of the faith was. I can still remember, every time I think of John Bunyan, I can't help but remember years ago when the Iron Trip and Zion radio program was being broadcast out of WNYG in West Babylon, Long Island, I was interviewing Barry Horner on John Bunyan and Pilgrim's Progress, and Barry Horner happens to be a native-born Australian who lives in the United States now. In fact, I think he's currently living in your great state of Florida, if I'm not mistaken. But during that interview, a friend of mine, Pastor Ed Moore of North Shore Baptist Church of Bayside, Queens, who is known for having a very warped sense of humor and known for being a practical joker, he called in during the show. And it started off his question sounding very erudite and serious, and he said, but the thing that's really on my mind most of all, please tell us more details about John Bunyan's blue ox, babe. Of course, he was making a joke about Paul Bunyan. But I have a feeling that a lot of people who are unfamiliar with this historic figure might be thinking that we're talking about the fictional Paul Bunyan, the giant lumberjack, but that is not who we're talking about. Tell us about John Bunyan.
Yeah, that's a great place to start and great clarification. There is a difference between John Bunyan and Paul Bunyan. John Bunyan lived in the 17th century. He was born in 1628 and lived almost 60 years. He died in the year 1678. He was a nonconformist in the country of England during a time period where there was great civil unrest and religious confusion. You're talking about really a generation following a couple of generations following the Reformation in Germany. And so he lived at a time where the working out of how the church would work with the government, how the state would work with the church, he lived at a time where that was being worked out. And he was a man who was born in a poor home. His father was a tinker and mended pots and pans, and John Bunyan actually took that trade on himself. So he wasn't a man that was born of great wealth. He was not an educated man. He was not even licensed to preach within the Church of England. And that is where much of the controversy began, because although he wasn't educated and wasn't licensed and didn't come from a particularly pedigreed background, he was a man who knew the scriptures and he loved the Lord. He was a great preacher. He had the ability to draw massive crowds to hear him preach. And the Lord used him in a very, very, very mighty way. During a time period when there was probably too much of an emphasis on the uniformity of the church, the formality of the church, the education of the clergy. In the Church of England, there was still too much Roman Catholic qualities going on that really prevented the laity from producing men like John Bunyan, who was the product of really, it's an interesting story. He was the product of women who were conversing about their inner spiritual experience of coming to know Christ in a personal way. And he had not really heard that sort of conversation take place. He had not really heard sermons that spoke about the evangelical gospel in a way that would call him to faith and repentance in Christ. And so it was a bunch of lay women who he overheard having a conversation about this that really encouraged him to begin searching out the things of the Lord and studying the things of the Lord. He was part of the parliamentary army, which I'm sure we'll end up talking more about, because it's impossible to understand why John Bunyan did the things that he did, why he was put in prison, why he was willing to be put in prison. Without understanding the historical context of what was going on politically and militarily in England. But he was a profane man. He was a blasphemer. There are accounts that when he was in the military, he smarted off to his superiors, and he was always being punished publicly. He was being put in the stocks. He was, they had him ride what was called a wooden horse, which was just that. It was a fake wooden horse. They would tie two muskets to your feet and weigh you down. It was very uncomfortable. position that you would sit in for hours without food or water, and it was just a point of public ridicule as for punishment. So when he came to know the Lord, there was such a massive change in his life that when he began to preach, he instantly drew a crowd, because everyone knew him as this tinker from Bedfordshire, this guy who was a blasphemer, ex-military guy. And so when he started preaching and he began preaching the true gospel, he got notice not only from the laity, but also from the higher ups in the Church of England.
Yes, in fact, although Bunyan was only a tinker, a mender of pots and pans, he achieved such knowledge and biblical literacy and just brilliance, being a self-taught man of meager means, that he even received the great admiration of one of the most brilliant Christian thinkers in all of Christendom, John Owen, who actually invited Bunyan to preach in his own pulpit.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, Chris, because you have certainly within the Puritan movement, and John Bunyan was a Puritan, he was a Calvinist, so he would have associated with people like John Owen, and when you talk about people like John Owen, you're talking about highly intellectual, theologically skilled clergymen of their own day. John Bunyan was not considered that, but he certainly had the mind and was able to understand the scriptures. He was indwelt by the Holy Spirit as a believer, and that's a very important point to make, that we don't believe that that as Christians, we believe that if we're indwelt by the Holy Spirit, that we can understand the Word of God, we can study the Word of God, and all Christians are to be theologians. All Christians are to seek to understand Scripture and to study it. And that's the amazing thing about the Puritan movement, is you had people like John Owen on the one hand, who was a scholar, and then you had people like John Bunyan that wasn't considered a scholar by society or by the church necessarily, but he was a man who certainly was brilliant, you know, in his own right, and the Lord used in an amazing way.
Can you tell us something about the religious stock from which John Bunyan arose, something about the religion of his parents and so on?
Yeah, well, we don't know the exact date of his birth. We know that he was christened on November 30th, 1628. So we know that his parents were at least churchgoers. And he would have, you know, come from a religious home in that sense. But really it was his first wife that led him to Christ indirectly. When they got married, she brought into the home three books in particular. One was Fox's Book of Martyrs, which I'm sure most of the listeners are familiar with, one of John Bunyan's favorite books until the day that he died. But there were two other books. There was a book called The Practice of Piety, which was written by a bishop by the last name of Bailey. And then another work written by Dent entitled Plain Man's Pathway to Heaven. And this little library that his wife brought into their little home caused him to start really thinking about his walk with the Lord and to think about the sin in his life. And his wife had come from a very godly home. And so she brought these books into his life. Books became a companion to him. And it was through his reading of these works that he realized he didn't know Christ, that he was not a believer, and that simply trying to make outward changes apart from an inward change, apart from being born again, would do nothing. In fact, he tampered with trying to just change some of his practices and some of his sinful habits, and he frustrated himself because he found that he couldn't do that. And that's when one day as he was on the job tinkering, doing his trade, he heard some women outside of a church speaking about their walk with Christ and speaking in tons of warmth and affection regarding their love for Christ and how Christ had changed their hearts. And that ultimately led to his understanding of the gospel and his conversion to Christ. And he joined that particular church. It happened to be a Baptist church, which, of course, would have been a church of nonconformity. And John Gifford was the pastor at this church. And John Bunyan was converted. He joined the church. He was immersed. And then a couple years later, started preaching. He was ordained as a deacon in that Baptist church, and then he started preaching. So he's an example of someone that grew up in a religious environment but never really understood the gospel and wasn't born again until he was a man in his mid-20s.
Now, I always knew that John Bunyan was Baptistic, or at least a credo Baptist, but I know that there has been some disagreement amongst Christians as to whether he maintained a view of immersion. Did he ever become an effusionist, or was that a rumor?
Did he ever become a what?
An effusionist, someone who believed in pouring of over the head of a believer rather than immersing them completely in water.
Well, he would have been someone, Chris, that would have not emphasized the mode of baptism. He would not have emphasized even whether or not, you know, someone was sprinkled, whether water was poured over them, whether they were immersed. He wrote a work, I think the title of it was something like The Differences in Judgment About Water Baptism, No Bar to Communion. And what that title is simply is communicating is what the little pamphlet or book that he wrote communicated, and that was the fact that he did not believe water baptism was a test or local church fellowship. So, for example, in the Bedford Church, the Baptist church that he later became the pastor of, the same church that he was converted in, after he got out of prison, he became the pastor of this church. And they allowed Paedo Baptists to become members of the church. And he held the position that when it came to the Lord's Supper, you were not to bar the table, or that is, that's another way of saying prevent people from partaking of the Lord's Supper who were genuine Christians, even if they had not been immersed. Now, there's some evidence that suggests that after a period of time, Bunyan's church, although they were credo-baptistic in their practice, that they eventually became paedo-baptist in their practice. I'm not 100% sure if that is true. Maybe one of the listeners knows for certain on that. But I think we can say at a minimum that he, and he even said this in this work, he said he did not believe that baptism should be made an idol. So he was so adamant about the one and true gospel, and he wanted to promote the one and true gospel, that he did not want to make baptism an idol. I think that is such a valuable lesson for today, because there are large denominations who try to track conversions based simply upon the numbers of baptisms they have a year. And I do not think that is an accurate measurement of true conversions. And so I think we can learn from Bunyan here. It doesn't mean that we don't have conviction about the mode of baptism or the timing of baptism, but I think that we need to be gracious with our brothers and sisters who disagree, so long as they don't believe in baptismal regeneration. And that's, you know, Bunyan would not want someone partaking of communion in his church if they believed in baptismal regeneration. In other words, if they believed that being baptized was part of salvation, he would say that that was grounds for preventing them from partaking of the Lord's Supper. But if they held to traditional covenantal theology, where the christening of a baby was simply a sign of entrance into the church and not conversion itself, he would have no problem saying, you know, let's just agree to disagree on this issue and let's talk about the gospel.
And something that may startle or disturb some of our friends who are either fundamentalists who despise Calvinism or other Christians who share that revulsion over what we cherish, known as the doctrines of sovereign grace or Calvinism or Reformed theology. But even though they may claim these folks, Bunyan as a hero and Pilgrim's Progress as one of their most cherished books, Bunyan did clearly share our belief in the doctrines of sovereign grace, did he not?
Yes, absolutely. He was part of that. I mean, Bunyan is about as Puritan as you can get. He was Calvinistic. He emphasized the preaching of the Word of God. He wanted the lay people to understand the Word of God, so he preached in a simple way, not a simplistic way, but a way that people could understand. He wasn't trying to be eloquent in his speech. He was, by all standards, a true Calvinistic Puritan. He really is the predecessor of American Christianity. And I don't mean American Christianity as we see it today. I'm talking about original American Christianity. It was his generation that sent over the Mayflower, that settled in Plymouth Rock, Massachusetts. It was that very generation that came from Bunyan's period of time. And so you're talking about a guy who was staunchly in favor of religious liberty, which is not something that the vast majority of the Church of England held to, at least not in the same way that he did. And religious liberty was absolutely foundational to the forming of the United States of America. So he's the predecessor of American theology in many ways. He's the predecessor of our heritage as Americans and as Christian Americans. As I said, of course, our heritage has been diluted greatly. People today, when they think of American Christianity, they don't think of John Bunyan. They don't even know who he is. They think of an imaginary person like Paul Bunyan. Today, when people, think of American Christianity, they think of Joel Osteen, or some other heretic. But the reality is the United States was founded by people who believed very, very similar things to John Bunyan.
And we will be getting more into his great work, Pilgrim's Progress, in a little bit, because it has something very much to do with this date that we are commemorating. By the way, is today the exact date of John Bunyan's arrest?
Yes, November 12th, 1660.
Well, this touches on what you were just speaking about, the fact that the Church of England... Now, this, of course, did not include every single person or theologian or clergyman in the Church of England, because we just mentioned moments ago how much John Owen admired John Bunyan. But he was obviously looked down upon by many in the Church of England, which led to his arrest, and if you could explain that.
Yeah, absolutely. So... once he was converted, shortly after his first marriage, he began preaching. And what was going on in England at this time was a lot of back and forth. England had just gotten out of the English Civil War. So when Bunyan was converted, the year was 1653, the English Civil War ended in the 1640s. And he was beginning to minister the gospel during a time period which is referred to as the Restoration. It was the restoration of the monarchy, the restoring of the King of England back to the throne, back to the seat of power. That occurred in the year 1660. He began preaching in 1558. So he was arrested in 1660, right at the beginning of the Restoration, and was imprisoned for 12 years. He wasn't released until 1672. So his children really were raised by his wife, they were little. He had freedom to preach in prison. This is where he wrote the majority of his works. I think of what Paul told Timothy, when Paul told Timothy that he was bound in chains, but the Word of God was not bound. That really was true for John Bunyan as well. I mean, the Word of God sounded forth from his jail cell, and he was able to write and to preach, and God used him in a mighty way. The irony of all of that is the fact that the reason he was arrested was because he was basically in charge of an unsanctioned religious assembly. So some of the laws that were enacted after the Restoration of 1660 said that if you did not follow the liturgy of the Church of England, if you did not follow the Act of Uniformity, the Act of the Conventicle Act, which said that you couldn't, if you were above the age of 16, organize yourself with like five or more people in any sort of religious setting. You had to attend the parish church. All of these sorts of laws, and even before those laws were actually official, the government was already pushing people to these things, and they were arresting people, particularly pastors, and particularly those who were considered themselves Baptists, like Bunyan, who were not licensed by the Church of England, you know, and they were not educated. And so Bunyan was arrested because he was an unlicensed preacher. And the interesting thing about Bunyan, of course, you have to understand that his favorite book was Fox's Book of Martyrs. So he is used to reading about all these men who take these great stands of faith and are burnt at the stake. People like Hugh Latimer and Nicholas Ridley and other people that you and I have talked about on this show in the past. And but Bunyan could have been released from prison if he would have simply promised that he would not preach again. So it wasn't that he couldn't talk about his evangelical faith. It wasn't that he couldn't, share the gospel. It's just you can't preach publicly. And if you agree that you won't preach publicly, then we'll release you. I call it a holy stubbornness because he absolutely refused to agree to that. And he was actually warned as early as 1658, and the restoration didn't take place till 1660, but in 1658 he was warned that you need to stop preaching because laws are going to be established that are going to prevent you, et cetera, et cetera. And he was sort of a preacher on the run. He preached in barns, he preached under trees. He was unrelenting in his boldness for the gospel. And talking about a man who sacrificed really his family and being able to raise his children in order to do this. And so he is, by all accounts, a hero of the faith.
Praise God. Well, we are going to our first break right now. And if you'd like to join us on the air with a question of your own, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. Please, as always, give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. And please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Let's say you disagree with your own pastor over some doctrinal issue we're discussing. Perhaps you are a pastor and you disagree with your own fellow elders or your congregation or your denomination over something that we're discussing. And that would make us completely understanding of your desire to remain anonymous. But if it's just a general question on history, on John Bunyan himself, on the Pilgrim's Progress, on doctrine or theology, please just give us your first name and city and state of residence and country of residence. If you live outside the USA, don't go away. God willing, we'll be right back with Andrew Smith and more on this date in history, the arrest of John Bunyan.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church in Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church of Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our Sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Hi, I'm Stefan Lindblad, Assistant Professor of Systematic Theology at IRBS Theological Seminary in Mansfield, Texas. I accepted this call to teach at the seminary because I'm firmly convinced that the people of God in the churches of our Lord Jesus Christ need to be firmly grounded in the truth of Holy Scripture. I'm excited to be teaching such subjects as the nature of theology and the doctrine of Scripture, and even the doctrine of the person and work of Jesus Christ. Our churches and our people need to be well grounded in these truths. Indeed, future ministers of the gospel need to understand these truths in order to proclaim them to all of God's people. If you want to learn more about our program, visit us online at irbsseminary.org.
I'm so grateful to our Sovereign God that while manning an exhibitor's booth for Iron Sharpens Iron at a major Bible conference, I providentially met Pastor Andrew Smith of Christ Reformed Community Church, just south of Jacksonville, Florida, right off I-95 in St. Johns County. Andrew is certainly the kind of pastor that is a perfect match for my radio show and has already proven to be an ideal guest. Christ Reformed Community Church shares my conviction that God is both creator and sustainer of the universe. He rules and reigns providentially over our lives. He directs not only the historical events of the world, but also the personal events of individuals. I agree with Christ Reformed Community Church that the very purpose of the church is to make disciples, that we are tasked with the responsibility to evangelize locally, nationally, and globally, and that we are to equip the saints for the work of service. Unlike the man-centered, seeker-sensitive movement, they do not gauge the success of biblical discipleship by how many people are in a church, but by the faithful ministry of God's Word and Gospel. For more details on Christ Reformed Community Church, visit ChristReformedCC.com. That's ChristReformedCC.com. Or call 904-955-9881. That's 904-955-9881. Tell Pastor Andrew that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
I'm Pastor Andrew Smith, and I'd like to urge you to consider joining Christ Reformed Community Church of St. John's, Florida, in financially supporting Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Got to tell you, for my money, Chris Arnson's radio program is just the best.
Iron. Criticizing Iron.
I think that's what it's called. This is Todd Friel of Wretched Radio and TV with Phil Johnson of Grace to You, inviting everybody to come to the G3 conference, which has almost instantly become one of the best conferences in the country.
And it is. It's a great conference. I love it. And Chris Arnson was there last year. He's been there, I think, every year. It's great to see him there. You and I actually did some recordings in the lobby at that place, which is a highlight.
So tons of stuff going on,
yeah.
Tons of great speakers, and no matter where you are in the building, you will hear Chris Arnson's laugh. And that's worth the price of admission alone. If you would like to join Phil, me, Chris, and a cavalcade of great preachers, so it should be a cavalcade of great preachers, and me, G3Conference.com, G3Conference.com.
And now there's even more exciting news. John MacArthur himself is now also on the lineup at the G3 Conference, Thursday, January 16th through Saturday, January 18th, 2020. Go to G3Conference.com, G3Conference.com. See you there.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnson and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio depends upon the financial support of fine Christian organizations to remain on the air, like the Historical Bible Society. The Historical Bible Society maintains a collection of Christian books, manuscripts, and Bibles of historical significance spanning nearly 1,000 years. The mission of HBS is the preservation and public display of ancient scripture, dissemination of scripture, to provide tools equipping believers in Christian apologetics with evidence for the Bible's reliability, and to introduce Reformation literature and Christian art to a broader audience. Since 2004, HBS has toured schools and churches throughout the Northeast United States, reaching thousands of believers and non-believers alike who are hungry for knowledge of the Bible. HBS's founder, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, is committed to sharing this collection along with an inspirational historical message that will captivate you and your church. Come journey through their website, historicalbiblesociety.org. The collection includes a complete 11th century Bible, an actual page of the Gutenberg Bible from 1455, the first book ever printed, the Geneva Bible, the 1611 King James Bible, and much, much more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org today. Thank you, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, for your faithful support of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries and the Dividing Line webcast here. Although God has brought me all over the globe for many years to teach, preach, and debate at numerous venues, some of my very fondest memories are from those precious times of fellowship with Pastor Rich Jensen and the brethren at Hope Reformed Baptist Church, now located at their new beautiful facilities in Coram, Long Island, New York. I've had the privilege of opening God's Word from their pulpit on many occasions, have led youth retreats for them, and have always been thrilled to see their members filling many seats at my New York debates. I do not hesitate to highly recommend Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, to anyone who wants to be accurately taught, discipled, and edified by the Holy Scriptures, and to be surrounded by truly loving and caring brothers and sisters in Christ. I also want to congratulate Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Corum for the recent appointment of Pastor Rich Jensen's co-elder, Pastor Christopher McDowell. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Corum, Long Island, that you heard about them from James White on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, folks, Solid Ground Christian Books is one of the primary sponsors of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. But barring a miracle, we could not exist without their financial support, which actually has tripled since they first began advertising with us. And that is due to the fact, or two facts. Number one, they love this show and don't want it to go off the air. But number two, they're getting such wonderful responses from you, the listeners, who have been purchasing many books from them. So please continue to go to solid-ground-books.com. Whenever you are purchasing a book, looking for a book that is steeped in biblically faithful, reformed, sovereign grace, Calvinistic theology, not only from centuries past, but even from biblically faithful contemporary authors, and not only for your own edification, to restock your library, etc., but also when you are purchasing gifts for loved ones. And of course, there are many holidays coming up that would make an ideal reason for purchasing a gift from solid-ground-books.com. Solid-ground-books.com. Always remember to tell Mike Gadosh of Solid Ground Christian Books that you heard about solid-ground-books.com from Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And we should be hearing from Mike momentarily about an offer that he is intending to make in regard to Pilgrim's Progress. I know that he sells several different editions of this great work by John Bunyan, whose life we are commemorating today, but also anything related to John Bunyan and things of that period. But we will let you know if we hear from Mike with that offer that that he is intending to make. But we are now back with our guest today, Andrew Smith. Andrew Smith, as we have said before, is the pastor of Christ Reformed Community Church in St. John's, Florida, and he is also the host of the Today in Church History podcast, and that is spelled HIS-STORY, His Story. And we are discussing today an event that took place on this very date in the 16th century, the arrest of John Bunyan. What year again was that, Pastor Andrew?
The year was 1660.
Oh, so it's 17th century, I'm sorry. 1660. And if anybody wants to join us on the air, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. And if we could pick up where we left off, we were talking about how the Church of England at that time, as many churches were, they were very guarded that there be no competition, if you will, of not only churches, but individual evangelists and preachers and teachers. who were not ordained by the Church of England, who were not subscribing to their specific liturgy, and they were so opposed to this at that time in the 17th century and earlier, that they actually would arrest folks on occasion who were considered by them basically to be lone wolves or mavericks. I'm not saying John Bunyan truly fit that category, but that's obviously the way the Church of England viewed him, and they arrested him. If you could pick up where we left off, because this is actually his arrest and his imprisonment is a vivid historical monument, if you will, to Romans 8:28, as far as I'm concerned, because of the wonderful things that came out of that arrest. But if you could continue.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, you almost have to go back 100 years, back to 1534 and the Act of Supremacy. We talked about this last time I was on your show, when Henry VIII broke away from the Pope. So when John Bunyan was born, he was born almost 100 years after the establishment of the Church of England. But as we well know, Henry VIII was more concerned about his legacy and the carrying on of an heir than he was about theological convictions. It's not to say he had no theological convictions. He certainly believed something, and he certainly did not agree with the Roman Church on many things. But the motivation of him breaking with Rome was so that he could divorce his wife and get remarried and have a son and be able to have an heir. What began to happen and began to develop once the Church of England was established was this growing sort of angst among the people of England. It was a period of time in which, you know, they had seen the Reformation take place, so it was an anti-authority, anti-absolutism sort of climate in which people began to become very uncomfortable with despotic, powerful rulers and kings. So in England, for instance, you had the Parliament, which was basically their job was to rubber stamp what the king wanted to do. But what you started seeing take place in the early 1600s, particularly with the reign of Charles I, who was the son of James I, is you began to see Parliament push back against the king. Charles I was one of those kings that believed that he had the divine right of God to rule. I mean, he would say things like, the only person that holds him accountable is God himself. So he did not want Parliament holding him accountable. He didn't want anyone holding him accountable. He wanted God holding him accountable, but that didn't mean the Pope, because he had broken away from the Pope. And so Parliament started to really push back against Charles I. It got so bad, in fact, that for 11 years, from 1629 to 1641, Parliament didn't even meet. They didn't even convene. You basically had England being ruled by one person, and that was King Charles. Now, he was smart, and one of the things that he did is he appointed a person in charge of political matters, of the Earl of Strafford, and then he appointed someone in charge of ecclesiastical matters. And that's where the story gets interesting, because the man that he chose was a man by the name of William Laud. And William Laud was the Archbishop of Canterbury. Previous to that, he had been the Bishop of London. But this man was thoroughly Arminian, William Laud was. He was very, obviously, anti-Calvinistic. He was pro-Anglican. And the Puritans, the people like Bunyan and the generation before Bunyan, absolutely could not stand William Laud.
I can see why.
Yeah, you can understand why at this point. You know,
he certainly wasn't he couldn't have been a 39 Articles Anglican, because obviously that is a thoroughly Calvinistic creed or confession.
Yeah, well, he's working behind the scenes, you know, to ensure that Calvinism is stamped out. That was basically what he was motivated by. He wanted strict uniformity to the Book of Common Prayer. The Puritans were upset because they didn't like vestments. They didn't like the bowing at Holy Communion, the bowing at the mention of the name Jesus. They didn't like the cross, crossing oneself during baptism. But really, they were most concerned about the fact that the Church of England was more Arminian than they were Calvinistic. That was really where the boiling point was. And but the best thing that Charles I did for the Puritans is that he created such a divide between himself and Parliament that Parliament didn't even convene for 11 years. And so what happened was that the country of England grew very dissatisfied with the king that just wanted to rule. And Puritanism was in the soil of being able to really develop and blossom and grow because central to Puritanism was the idea of religious liberty. And so if you have a king that's being, you know, domineering and dictatorial, you then started to have a people that began filing grievances with Parliament. And on December 11th, 1640, Parliament received a petition signed by over 1,000 Londoners entitled the Root and Branch Petition, which called for the removal of all archbishops, bishops, deans, archdeacons, priests, all of that. And William Laud was arrested. He was eventually tried, and he was eventually executed. This then took the power of Charles I away, and he got so angry that he marched into the House of Commons, Charles I did, and tried to arrest the ringleaders of Parliament. And what this led to then was the king going into exile and the king declaring war on Parliament. So you had the English Civil Wars that took place. And on the side of the king was Anglicanism, which was the idea that the king has the divine right biblically to rule and to govern, and the people must submit, that the church needs to be ran by bishops, and that sort of thing. On the side of Parliament, you had the Puritans. These were the Presbyterians and then the Independents. John Bunyan would have been an Independent because he didn't espouse Presbyterian form of church government. And they believed the Bible was on their side as well. They did not want bishops. They did not want the Book of Common Prayer. They did not want vestments. They did not want altars. They didn't want these things because they thought they were too Romish. They reminded them too much of the Roman Catholic Church. But at the heart of all of this was the Church of England slide completely away from Calvinism, which was really, really the central issue. And so the English Civil Wars were not only political, but they were religious. And so John Bunyan, as a young man, fights in the army of Oliver Cromwell. He's part of the army of Parliament that's fighting against the king. And what is John Bunyan fighting for? He's fighting for religious liberty. He's fighting for the doctrines of grace. He's fighting for his right to be a Baptist minister and to not be imprisoned. So he was fighting for quite a bit, so that by the time that he actually was converted, he wasn't converted in the military. So again, he's fighting for these principles that he didn't maybe fully believe in his heart, but he was part of that, again, that religious climate. By the time that he was converted, which was in the 1650s, he then began to pick up the sword of the Spirit, that is the Word of God, and he became a soldier of Christ, and saying, we must fight for our right to worship the way that we want to worship. And that's why he's such a hero to us, because he was willing to sacrifice so much over the things that we cherish so much. We cherish our independency. We cherish our right to read the Bible and to interpret the Bible and to be able to worship according to the way we want to worship instead of laws telling us how to worship. These were all things that John Bunyan fought for.
Well, we have to go to our midway break right now. This is the longer than normal break that we have to have because Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, who airs this program in a pre-recorded format twice a day in morning drive and 8 to 10 in the evening as well, they, by FCC regulations, have to localize their programming to Lake City, Florida, and therefore they air their own public service announcements while we air our globally heard commercials during this break. So please be patient with us as we take this longer than normal break. Please use this time wisely by writing down all of the information provided by our advertisers so that you can more frequently and successfully patronize them So subsequently, they will more likely remain on the air as our advertisers, which subsequently will enable us to have a longer future for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, because we cannot survive without the dollars that come through our advertisers' support. So please try to patronize them as much as you can. And also write questions about John Bunyan and Pilgrim's Progress or anything in relation to that period in Christian history. Write them down for our guest, Andrew Smith, and send them to chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Don't go away. God willing, we'll be back with Andrew Smith after these messages from our sponsors. Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group.org/podcast.
Did you know that all believers are priests? In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, the Apostle Peter describes Christ's church as comprising a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. So if you're a Christian, you're also a priest. Now you can find the newest styles in Reformed and Protestant apparel at citizenpriest.com. Citizenpriest.com specializes in Christian-themed t-shirts and clothing especially for Reformed Christians. Citizenpriest.com's merchandise is purposefully scripture-based and meant for the edification of the saints and the furtherance of the gospel. Let everyone know that you stand firm on the doctrines of the Reformed faith by wearing apparel from citizenpriest.com. Visit citizenpriest.com today.
Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio here. I want to tell you about a man I have personally known for many years. His name is Dan Buttafuoco. Dan is a personal injury and medical malpractice lawyer, but not the type that typically comes to mind. Dan cares about people and is a theologian himself. Recently, he wrote a book titled Consider the Evidence for the Bible. Ravi Zacharias wrote the foreword. Dan also has a master's degree in theology. Dan handles serious injury and medical malpractice cases in all 50 states. He represents many Christians in serious injury matters all over the country. Dan is an exceptional trial lawyer. He wrote the test for the National Board of Trial Advocacy. And currently his firm has over 100 cases that have settled for $1 million or more, and in approximately 10 different states. In Illinois, his lawyers had the fourth largest settlement in the state's history. In New York, his case involving a paralyzed police officer made the front page of the Law Journal. If you have a serious personal injury or medical malpractice claim in any state, I recommend that you call Dan. Consultations are free. There is no fee unless you win. Dan Buttafuoco's number is 1-800-669-4878, 1-800-669-4878. Or email me for Dan's contact information at chrisarnson@gmail.com. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com.
I'm Pastor Bill Shishko, host of A Visit to the Pastor's Study, and I am so thankful to be part of the advertising family right here on Iron Sharpens Iron. If you live on Long Island, or if you're visiting the metropolitan New York area, I invite you to join us for worship at The Haven on Sundays at 4:30 p.m. We meet at the Ascension Lutheran Church facility, 33 Bayshore Road in Deer Park, New York. At The Haven, you'll find God-saturated singing, gospel-rich ministry, and great commission opportunities. Learn more about us at thehavenli.com and join us this Sunday at 4:30 p.m., 33 Bayshore Road, Deer Park, New York.
Iron Sharpens Iron welcomes Solid Rock Remodeling to our family of sponsors. Serving South Central Pennsylvania, Solid Rock Remodeling is focused on discovering, understanding, and exceeding your expectations. They deliver personalized project solutions with exceptional results. Solid Rock Remodeling offers a full range of home renovations, including kitchen and bath remodeling, decks, porches, windows and doors, roof and siding, and more. For a clear, detailed professional estimate, call this trustworthy team of problem solvers who provide superior results that stand the test of time. Call Solid Rock Remodeling at 717-697-1981. 717-697-1981. Or visit SolidRockRemodeling.com. That's SolidRockRemodeling.com. Solid Rock Remodeling, bringing new life to your home.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goatskin inside liner, and the electric blue goatskin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church of Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible, were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Nate Pickowitz of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Iron Works, New Hampshire, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rich Jensen of Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Sule Prince of Oakwood Wesleyan Church in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor John Sampson of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck Volo of New Life Community Church in Kingsville, Maryland, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Herford of Eastport Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Roy Owens Jr. of the Church of Friendship in Hockley, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, Professor of Apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen. If you just tuned us in, our guest today for the full 2 hours with a little less than an hour to go is Pastor Andrew Smith of Christ Reformed Community Church in St. John's, Florida. We are discussing today in church history the arrest of John Bunyan, which took place on this very date in the 17th century. I believe our guest told me that it was 1660. And we're going to be continuing that discussion momentarily, but we first have some very important announcements to make that we hope will edify you, because I hope that you join me at some very important upcoming events. First of all, I hope that you join me in December, specifically Thursday and Friday, December 19th and 20th. If you are a man in ministry leadership, which are the requirements for attending this event, I hope that you join me at the Foundations Conference in New York City. This is a conference hosted by SermonAudio.com. And there are remarkable guests on the roster at this conference, including Dr. Stephen J. Lawson, Paul Washer, Reverend Jeff Thomas, Reverend Armin Tomasian, Richard Caldwell Jr., and Andrew Quigley. If you'd like to join me, if you are a man in ministry leadership, on December 19th and 20th, that's Thursday and Friday, December 19th and 20th, in New York City, for the Foundations Conference, go to thefoundationsconference.com, thefoundationsconference.com. Then coming up in January, from Thursday, January 16th through Saturday, January 18th, I will be manning once again an exhibitors booth at the G3 conference
G3 stands for Gospel, Grace, and Glory. And this January, the theme is Worship Matters. This is being held once again at the Georgia International Convention Center in College Park, Georgia, which is a suburb of Atlanta. And they always have an absolutely mind-blowing, very long and very impressive roster of speakers, which include, once again, Dr. Stephen J. Lawson. They include my dear friend of many years, going back to the 1990s, Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. Phil Johnson, the executive director of Grace to You, the media ministry of John MacArthur. And Phil also happens to be the most interviewed guest on Iron Sharpens Zion Radio in our history, going back to 2005. My friend Todd Friel, host of Wretched TV and Radio. My friend Dr. Tom Askell, who is the executive director of Founders Ministries, the Calvinistic ministry within the Southern Baptist Convention. Stephen J. Nichols, who is the president of Reformation Bible College, the college founded by the late R.C. Sproul and Ligonier Ministries. Costi Hinn, the convert out of the Word of Faith heresy. He is actually the nephew of notorious heretic and charlatan Benny Hinn. And he has renounced his uncle and his heresies and has become a Reformed Baptist and a cessationist, now pastoring very recently in Arizona. He was in California and now has just taken a post in Arizona. And there are many more speakers at this conference, and the most recent addition is John MacArthur himself. And if it was only him speaking, I would still make the effort to go to the Georgia International Convention Center to hear him preach. If you'd like to join me Thursday, January 16th through Saturday, January 18th, at the Georgia International Convention Center for the G3 Conference, go to g3conference.com, g3conference.com, and I also strongly urge you, if you have a business, a parachurch organization, a special event that you want to promote, or anything else that you want the body of Christ to know about in large numbers, I strongly urge you to not only attend the G3 Conference, but also register for an exhibitor's booth. And the exhibitor's booth space will likely disappear a lot faster than the regular attendees' seats. So I would strongly urge you to register for an exhibitor's booth very soon before they run out of room. Because keep in mind, folks, if you've never been there, they have over 5,000 people that attend the G3 Conference every year. And with John MacArthur added to the lineup, I am strongly confident they're going to have over 6,000 people. So if you want to join me in manning an exhibitor's booth, or if you just want to attend, go to g3conference.com, g3conference.com. Last but not least, if you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, you don't want it to disappear from the airwaves, you look forward to sharing the free downloadable MP3s with family, friends, and loved ones, you love the fact that we interview guests and cover topics that very often are never heard anywhere else, well, please, if you have the extra money, please help us survive. Go to G3, I'll almost give you the G3 Conference website. Go to ironsharpensironradio.com, ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You can donate instantly with a debit or credit card by doing that. You can also send in a check the old-fashioned way via snail mail to the address that appears on the screen when you click ironsharpensironradio.com and click support. I want you to always remember, folks, I don't want anybody siphoning money away from their regular giving to their local church where they are a member in order to give to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and I never want anybody putting their family in financial jeopardy by giving to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Those two things are commands of God, so you cannot violate those commands, and my show is obviously not under some kind of unique blessing, a mandate of God that you support it financially. But if you love the show, you don't want it to disappear, and you have extra money, and you're financially blessed above and beyond your ability to obey those two commands I mentioned, please help us remain on the air. Our donations have dwindled down to a frighteningly low level. We have a handful of very generous people that are keeping the show on the air through their donations and their advertising. But it seems that the larger number of donors that existed previously that we could count on every month, many of them have seemingly disappeared. I don't know if they were raptured and I was left behind or what the case is. But please, folks, please help us. by going to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You can also advertise with us if you send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com, you can put advertising in the subject line. Also, if you are not a member of a Bible-believing church, and you're not even prayerfully looking for one, you're living in rebellion against God, I may be able to help you because I have lists of biblically faithful churches all over the world, and I've already helped quite a number of people find churches in all parts of the world where they have joined these churches, or they have visited them while on vacation, or they have recommended them to their family, friends, and loved ones who do not have churches. But if you are in that position, just send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address where you can send in a question to our guest, Andrew Smith, on the subject of John Bunyan. We are commemorating the arrest of John Bunyan today, which occurred on this date in history in 1660. Isn't that right, Andrew? 1660?
Yes, sir. And yes, sir. That's correct.
So if you want to join us, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. And as always, give us your first name, city and state, and country of residence if you live outside the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Well, let's hear more about why I previously said that this arrest of John Bunyan later revealed itself to be a monument to Romans 8:28, that all things work together for the good for those who love God and are the called according to his purpose. His arrest is why we have in our hands today this tremendous work known as the Pilgrim's Progress. But if you could give us more detail about his arrest and then continue on through the coming into being of the Pilgrim's Progress.
Yep, I'd be glad to do that, Chris. As I was saying, this war between the king and Parliament and God's sovereignty was a wonderful work of God, because the Puritans, united with Parliament, were essentially seeking religious liberty from the Church of England. They did not want the government making laws about how they could worship. And so as Oliver Cromwell led this army of Parliament, referred to as the New Model Army, it quickly gained momentum. And one of the interesting things that occurred is that Oliver Cromwell was actually not a Presbyterian, so he was not really in favor of a Presbyterian form of government. He did not want England to adopt the church form of government known as Presbyterianism that the Scottish had adopted. Oliver Cromwell was an independent. John Bunyan was an independent. And so Parliament ended up winning the war. They actually executed Charles I, and when they executed him, they held his head up after they chopped it off. And what should have been a glorious victory for the Puritans actually turned against them. And this is why John Bunyan ended up being arrested. When they cut off Charles I's head, and you have this great victory of Parliament and the Puritans and the Calvinists over England and Anglicanism and over the king, the gasps from the crowd were louder than the cries of the soldiers hooraying the fact that the king was dead.
Wow.
And what you had was a dark shadow over England, where now people were so sick of war. You know, the Civil War had been going on since 1641. It was now 1646. There was a shame that sort of pervaded England, and you suddenly started to see a turning from a support of Oliver Cromwell and his army and the independents more toward a support of Parliament, which wanted a Presbyterian form of church government, which wasn't as controlling as the episcopacy in that form of church government, but still to the independents gave too much power and control to higher-ups in a church hierarchy, if you will. And I really believe that if the Presbyterians and independents could have somehow forged an alliance, that maybe the Church of England would have either ceased to exist, or they certainly would not have become the dominating force. So the irony of history is that with the lopping off of Charles I's head by the Puritans, by Oliver Cromwell, by the army, which you would think would be a great victory for Puritans, it actually was sort of the beginning of the end for Puritans, because the people were so sick of the civil unrest. They did not want an army you know, people would say, well, it's better to have a king as a tyrant than to have an army, you know, that's killing people. And so you began to see division between Parliament, between the Presbyterians, and between the Independents. And that's when Oliver Cromwell died in the year 1658. Well, I mentioned earlier that in 1658, Bunyan was warned, stop preaching, because if you don't, you're going to be arrested. There's going to be laws that are coming. Well, that was a prophecy that came true. 1658, Oliver Cromwell died. His son, Richard Cromwell, became the Lord Protector of the Commonwealth of England to succeed his father. And he just wasn't an effective leader. He resigned in 1660, 2 years later. And that's when Charles II, who was the son of Charles I, the executed king, Charles II now came out of exile, and he was put back on the throne, and he was pro-Anglican. And the reason he was pro-Anglican was because for 15 years, while this civil war was going on, while the Puritans were fighting Charles I and all of this, William Laud's efforts to condition the younger generation of England through chaplains and tutors that got in the homes of the squires and the wealthy sort of people, by the time that Charles II came to the throne, he had been so conditioned to be anti-Calvinistic and anti-Puritan from those that surrounded him. And the people that were now in Parliament, in the seats of Parliament, they were the younger up-and-coming generation, they were all pro-Anglican. So England turned again back to Anglicanism, and that's when you had the restoration of the monarchy, 1660. That's when John Bunyan was arrested, and that's when he served his prison sentence. But as you said, Chris, it was used by God's sovereignty because, again, I go back to Paul. Paul was bound by physical chains, but the word of God was not bound. The apostle Paul was able to preach the gospel when he was in Roman imprisonment so that the Praetorian Guard heard the gospel. People in Caesar's household converted to Christ. The same thing was true with Bunyan. He was able to preach while he was in prison. He wrote most of his works while he was in prison. He wrote Pilgrim's Progress when he was in prison. It was actually a second imprisonment. He was imprisoned for 6 months in 1675. So he was released in 1672 after a 12-year sentence. In 1675, he was rearrested for 6 months, and that's when he wrote the great work that we know of as Pilgrim's Progress, which, as you well know, Chris, has been translated more than any other work other than the Bible. I mean, it's the first thing that missionaries traditionally have translated after they translate the Bible because of its strong, allegorical, picturesque language of the spiritual truths of the Christian.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think I also heard that, I don't know if this has changed, but that Pilgrim's Progress has also been purchased more than any other book other than the Bible in the history of literature. Is that true?
I've heard that. You know, I don't know who came up with that fact, but that's a common thing that people say, even people that aren't Christian.
And I hope that T.D. Jakes has not exceeded the sales of Pilgrim's Progress, because there was a time when he was the top selling Christian author, which always gave me great reason for projectile vomiting. But anyway,
yeah. Well, you know, Chris, Bunyan is known for Pilgrim's Progress, but what many of our listeners may not realize is that he actually wrote 60 books. That's an average of one book every year he was alive. And obviously he didn't write until he was converted in his mid-20s. That is an astounding number of publications. And so Pilgrim's Progress is worth its weight in gold and has had a huge impact, but he also wrote many, many other works, you know, regarding fathers and their families, the Holy City, which was about heaven, many, many other works that people don't realize. He was actually an apologist for Christianity against Quakerism, which a lot of people don't realize as well. So as you said earlier, Chris, he was a brilliant man for being uneducated. He was able to write not just, you know, allegory like Pilgrim's Progress, but he wrote many practical and theological works that people are still reading today.
Amen. And perhaps a better way of phrasing it is that he was not formally educated, because he certainly did educate himself
Yes.
Because he was indeed brilliant. We have an anonymous listener who asks, I have heard from both sides of the New Covenant theology and Covenant theology divide that John Bunyan was one of their own. I have so many friends and brethren on both sides of this debate that I don't know who to believe. Do you know which side is accurate? Was John Bunyan more in favor of what is now known as New Covenant theology, or was he more of a covenantal Calvinist Baptist, as those who framed the 1689 London Baptist Confession later on in history?
Yeah, well, let me offer an analogy that I think might be helpful to answer this question, and I don't know if I'll be able to answer it in a satisfying way or not, but if you go back to the period of the Reformation, you had both Roman Catholics and Protestants quoting Church Father Augustine, and you had both Roman Catholics and Protestants quoting the same church fathers.
And still today we do.
And still today we do. So I don't think that I'm going to be able to answer this question in a way that satisfies everyone who is listening. But I think that sometimes you can read Bunyan, and he certainly has a very strong emphasis on the New Covenant, particularly, you know, his position on baptism would be rooted in an understanding of the New Testament that would place the New Testament in precedence over the Old Testament, not in terms of authority, but in terms of how we interpret the Old Testament. He would rather go to the New Testament to understand the Old Testament than go to the Old Testament to understand the New Testament. One of the works, this is very interesting, that he considered to be most influential upon him, other than Fox's Book of Martyrs, was Martin Luther's commentary on Galatians. Now, if you read Martin Luther's commentary on Galatians, Martin Luther sounds an awful lot like a New Covenant theologian, or what many New Covenant theologians espouse today. And so I think an argument can be made that he had some of the same principles of the New Covenant guys, no doubt. But it's anachronistic to say that he was a New Covenant theologian, because that term didn't even, you know, come up until, you know, very recently.
Right. Well, the advocates of that theological system, some of whom are actually sponsoring the show. I have people on both sides of that debate sponsoring the show. They would claim, even though the term didn't evolve until very recent in history, in the 1990s actually, that the theological system did exist within Christendom. In fact, I even remember when they came up with the term New Covenant theology. My late wife, Julie, before we were married, was a member of a New Covenant church, and I became very close with her pastor, who is now also in heaven, Don Blind, and he used to take me for a number of years to the John Bunyan Conference. And I remember it was about that time in the 1990s that they came up with the title New Covenant Theology. In fact, they originally called themselves New Covenant Reformed Baptists, and then later...
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And some of the sweetest people I know are part of that movement. People like, you know, John Riesinger and Tom Wells. Those men have ministered to me personally, and are good friends, and are men that love the Lord, and are in many ways they are like John Bunyan, modern day, you know, John Bunyans, in the sense that they're brilliant people that are explaining things regarding the scriptures that are out of the normal orbit of what Reformed people typically would define, you know, the covenant is, and those sorts of things. So I think that it would be anachronistic to say that John Bunyan was a New Covenant theologian, but I don't think it would be inaccurate to say that he held to many of the same interpretive principles and even theological positions, i.e. baptism, credo baptism, that is, that many New Covenant theologians espouse this day.
Yes. Well, thank you, Anonymous, and please keep listening to the program and keep spreading the word about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Let's see here. We have Bobby in Hartsdale, New York, who wants to know, did the Anglican Church ever formally express their regret and repentance to John Bunyan and ask for his forgiveness due to their harsh treatment of him?
Not that I'm aware of.
I'm getting a loss of memory at a fairly young age here. John Owen. John Owen, he obviously invited Bunyan to preach at his church after, this was after the imprisonment, wasn't it?
Yeah, I'm not sure what the chronology of that is. I would say, though, in reference to the question, that you did have in that period after Cromwell died, you did have a period where the Church of England was, for lack of a better term, gracious to the nonconformists. There was a period of, and even, you know, the king would speak about the tender consciences of those who didn't fit in with the normal traditions of the Church of England. And for that matter, Oliver Cromwell was very gracious toward even Roman Catholics, you know, when he was Lord Protector. You didn't see, and I think, Chris, this came up in a different episode we did a few weeks ago. You know, the Protestants did not treat one another with the hatred and vileness to the degree that the Roman Catholics treated the Protestants. There was more grace. Of course, I say that, and there was the English Civil War, you know, where you had Anglicans basically against Puritans. So I'm not denying the fact that there wasn't bloodshed and that sort of thing.
And persecution of Baptists by...
And persecution of Baptists, yeah. But there was, with the Roman Catholic Church, there was a zero tolerance policy, you know, for Protestants. In Bunyan's case, he was actually free to leave prison and actually go to the church, the Bedford Church, the Baptist Church, and actually preach there. So as bad as it was that he was in prison, he had freedom. He was allowed to have visitors. He was allowed to even go and preach in a church that technically was illegally gathering. So again, history is complicated, and there, God's grace shines through in even the worst situations. So that whether there was a formal apology or not from the Church of England, I've never heard of that. I do know that it could have been worse for John Bunyan. John Bunyan did not die as a martyr. He died on a preaching tour. He was going to preach in London, and he went out of his way to settle a quarrel between a father and a son, and he got caught in the rain and the wet weather, got a cold, caught a fever, and died.
Wow.
There were men before him who were burnt at the stake, you know, who had their heads chopped
right
off. You know, so you have to put that in perspective. And I don't think that he would have wanted the Church of England to apologize. He would want them to repent, you know, and turn back to
right
to Protest to a true Protestantism, because that was his issue. The issue of the Puritans was that the Church of England was too Romish, that they were basically undoing what the Reformation had done. That's what they fought for. They didn't want apologies. They wanted repentance. They wanted a change.
Yes, and that divide still exists. I have very Calvinistic friends in the ministry, in the Anglican Church, who are sometimes low church, sometimes high church, but all who are very opposed to the Romish element in the Anglican Church, the Oxford movement, the Tractarians, the Puseyites, as they have been called, and they're equally opposed to the Roman side as they are to the apostate leftist side, and so this division still goes on today. But I think, if I'm not mistaken, that after his release from prison, there were quite a number of Anglican congregations that joined John Owen in inviting Bunyan to preach for them. Did they not?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is true. He was, you know, a lot of people say that he was only, you know, preaching in these contexts, you know, under trees or in barns or at these a legally sanctioned covenantical meetings, but he actually was invited by parish churches, Anglican parish churches, to preach. And I think that that says a lot about his ability to, yes, he's willing to be arrested for what he believes in. He's not going to compromise principles, but he's also willing to go certain places to preach if people were willing to listen. You know, he was able to have a relationship with people on the other side in an effort to win them over. And I think that says a lot about him, that he would even be invited, you know, by Anglicans to do that. It says a lot about his character and about his personality. One of the famous portraits of him, and it's the famous portrait that's on any book, you know, about John Bunyan, or any picture you've seen of him is usually a rendition of this portrait. And someone said that that is exactly what Bunyan looked like. He had glistening eyes. He had a smile. I mean, he had a very charismatic spirit. So I think he was a likable person, and I think that is attributed to the work of Christ in his heart and in his life, because he certainly wasn't that way as a blasphemer in the military before his conversion.
Yes, in fact, in the 19th century, a church, an Episcopal church in the United States in New York City, was founded by Stephen Ting, who is, or should I say was, he's now in heaven. He was a really erudite, brilliant, low church Calvinist Episcopalian, and I have visited the church that he founded, which is currently pastored by Jacob Smith, their rector, who is a Calvinist himself, very conservative, and he took me on a tour of the beautiful building of St. George's in New York City, and that has a very low church architecture. And Stephen Ting had a stained glass window created in tribute to John Bunyan. So, it's a beautiful stained glass depiction of Bunyan. Let's see here. We have Harrison in Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania, who asks, could you, for the sake of our listeners who may be new Christians or non-Christians who are unfamiliar with Pilgrim's Progress, could you give a summary of this great work?
Yeah, I'd be glad to. In short, it is an allegory of the Christian life. It's about a journey of pilgrim to find the state of grace, to find peace with God. And he's met with many different characters along the way that try to persuade him this way or that way. The beauty of Pilgrim's Progress, for those that, and I would encourage, you know, I think every Christian should read it. I don't think every Christian needs to be an expert on every little nuance, but to at least be familiar with it, because one of the things that we need to recognize is that Scripture itself has allegory in it. Scripture itself describes theology in picturesque language. For example, I was preaching from Ephesians 6 on spiritual warfare this past Sunday, because we're working through Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, and the whole passage on the spiritual armor, where Paul says that we are to put the whole armor of God on. Paul has in mind there Isaiah 59:17, which speaks about the armor that God himself wears. He has a cloak of zeal. You know, he puts on the breastplate. He avenges wrath on his adversaries. That's very picturesque language of God as a warrior. God is a man of war. And someone described Bunyan as, if you want to understand his writings, you need to understand him as someone who saw spiritual conflict and spiritual warfare at the heart of the Christian. And when you read Pilgrim's Progress, you see that battle, you know, developing in the life of Pilgrim. And there's a way that pictures bring home certain truths that are important for the Christian. And so I would encourage anyone to read Pilgrim's Progress. It's a great work.
And by the way, we have finally received from Mike Gadosh of Solid Ground Christian Books the sales that he is offering in connection to today's broadcast. And by the way, Mike Gadosh sends his warmest regards to you, Pastor Andrew. He fondly remembers you and having even had the privilege of speaking with you at a conference at the Sovereign Grace Family Church in Jacksonville. So he wants to offer you his greetings.
Well, he is a wonderful man, and I would just say that, you know, he has the best bookstore in the world. So buy his stuff up and buy a lot of it.
Amen. Well, he's offering the George Orffer edited edition of The Pilgrim's Progress for $5. He's offering Derek Thomas's DVD set of lectures on Pilgrim's Progress for $8. George Cheever's lectures on Pilgrim's Progress for $8. And if you get all three, it will be $20, and the retail price would normally be $100. So you're saving $80 if you buy all of those. Go to solid-ground-books.com. Solid-ground-books.com. Thank you, Mike Gadosh, for making that offer available to our listeners. And we're going to our final break right now. If you'd like to join us on the air with a question of your own, please send an email to us at chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least your city and state of residence and your country of residence. If you live outside the USA, only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages from our sponsors with more of Andrew Smith. When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at the Toronto Baptist Seminary, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jeff Downs of Knox Reformed Presbyterian Church in Mechanicsville, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Mark Grimaldi of Grace Reformed Baptist Church of Long Island in Merrick, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Scott Pasolo of the Master's Church of Bucks County, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Kevin Vigneault of the Bible Church of Port Washington, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Andrew Smith of Christ Reformed Community Church in St. Augustine, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Clint Leiter of Highway M Chapel, Sedalia, Missouri, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com, that's nasbible.com, to place your order.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest in buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com. BibleRebinding.com.
Chris Sorensen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio here. I want to tell you about a man I have personally known for many years. His name is Dan Buttafuoco. Dan is a personal injury and medical malpractice lawyer, but not the type that typically comes to mind. Dan cares about people and is a theologian himself. Recently, he wrote a book titled Consider the Evidence for the Bible. Ravi Zacharias wrote the foreword. Dan also has a master's degree in theology. Dan handles serious injury and medical malpractice cases in all 50 states. He represents many Christians in serious injury matters all over the country. Dan is an exceptional trial lawyer. He wrote the test for the National Board of Trial Advocacy. And currently his firm has over 100 cases that have settled for $1 million or more and in approximately 10 different states. In Illinois, his lawyers had the fourth largest settlement in the state's history. In New York, his case involving a paralyzed police officer made the front page of the Law Journal. If you have a serious personal injury or medical malpractice claim in any state, I recommend that you call Dan. Consultations are free. There is no fee unless you win. Dan Buttafuoco's number is 1-800-669-4878. 1-800-669-4878. Or email me for Dan's contact information at chrisarnzen@gmail.com. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bob Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402, or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
One sure way all Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listeners can help keep my show on the air is to support my advertisers. I know you all use batteries every day, so I'm urging you all from now on to exclusively use BatteryDepot.com for all your battery needs. At BatteryDepot.com, they're changing the status quo. They're flipping the script. They're sticking it to the man. In other words, they'd like to change the battery industry for good by providing an extensive inventory of top-of-the-line batteries that are uniformly new, dependable, and affordable. Ordering from BatteryDepot.com ensures you'll always get fresh out-of-the-box batteries you can count on to work properly at competitive prices. Whether you need batteries for cordless phones, cell phones, radios, PCs, laptops, tablets, baby monitors, hearing aids, smoke detectors, credit card readers, digital cameras, electronic cigarettes, GPSs, MP3 players, watches, or nearly anything else you own that needs batteries, go to BatteryDepot.com. Next day shipping available. All products protected by 30-day guarantees and 6-month warranties. Call 866-403-3768. That's 866-403-3768. Or go to BatteryDepot.com. That's BatteryDepot.com.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ, staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how He shall be worshipped and how He shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Baptism and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
I'm Dr. Terry Timbrell, pastor of Bethlehem Baptist Church in Laurel, Mississippi. God tells us in James 1:27 that pure and undefiled religion is to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. In the providence of God, 3 years ago, I discovered a poor small church outside Lusaka, Zambia, in a township called Kabanana, who are taking care of 24 orphans. I found them just at the time when they had lost all their funding. What was I to do? Could I just say, God bless you, and walk away? The situation of the children sat heavily upon me. As I was praying concerning this need, it came to me, I trust from the Lord, to tell the orphans' plight to a broader audience. The entire need for their clothing, food, education, and some medical services is $73 per month per child. If just 50 of us would give $35 a month, we could meet the need. Bethlehem Baptist Church will pay the fee to get the funds there, so if you give a dollar will get to the orphans. In this season of hope and giving, will you consider giving hope to 24 orphans? Please send your gift of any amount to Bethlehem Baptist Church, 838 Reed Road, Laurel, Mississippi, 39443. Or donate through our website, bbclaurel.com. Again, the address is Bethlehem Baptist Church, 838 Reed Road, Laurel, Mississippi, 39443, or bbclaurel.com.
Welcome back. Welcome back, folks. I just want to give you some exciting news tomorrow. We have my friend Gary DeMar returning to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and he's going to be discussing the new edition of his very controversial and fascinating book, Last Days Madness. I will be joined by Christopher McDowell, a pastor, one of the pastors, at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, who will be a co-host with me, and possibly, we are not certain yet, but possibly Jeff Durbin. Pastor Jeff Durbin of Apologia Church and Apologia Radio may be joining us as well as a co-host, since both of those men have been enormously blessed by Gary's book, Last Days Madness. So make sure you mark your calendars for that. And also, keep in mind that when this show is over, my dear friend Joe Jackowitz of firstloveradio.org, his sermons are heard immediately following Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, so if you can, please remain on the live streaming so that you can hear this very powerful preacher of the Word of God, my friend Joe Jackowitz of Christ Bible Church in Dublin, California. We are now back with our guest today, Andrew Smith. And Andrew, I would like you to, for about 3 minutes or so, summarize what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners today in regard to John Bunyan, perhaps specifically the arrest of John Bunyan, and what this means for Christians today?
Well, I think that it means for Christians that all Christians should be readers. John Bunyan was not formally educated, but he was self-educated, and he was not afraid to pick a book up and to read it and to learn from other men. He was a very committed student of Scripture. His vocabulary was just filled with Scripture. He had a lot of Scripture committed to memory. And so in that sense, I think he's a wonderful example for all Christians. He's also an example to those who are ministers or who are pastors. Because he was someone who not only was able to argue theological points, you know, he wrote on the issue of baptism, for instance, but he also wrote Pilgrim's Progress. So he was able to write things that could minister to children, that could minister to younger people. He was a preacher, and that's what he was known for. He was known for being able to stand behind a pulpit and open up God's Word, and people would listen. But the reason he died was because of a pastoral duty that he felt like he needed to perform in trying to settle this dispute between a father and a son. As I mentioned earlier, he left his normal path on his preaching tour near London and went to try to settle this dispute between a father and a son. That ultimately led to him catching a fever and a cold and dying, all because he cared for those that he shepherded. He cared for those, maybe those things that as pastors we don't normally think it's our job to do, you know, to try to settle a dispute between a father and a son. You know, our job is to write and to preach and to do those things, which that is our duty to do. But it's also our duty to be a pastor and to love the people that are under our charge. So I think Bunyan speaks to ministers. I think he sets a wonderful example for Christians as well. And I would encourage all the listeners to pick up a copy of Pilgrim's Progress, and especially that great deal that Mike Gaidosh gave. That's you know what they call that, Chris? They call that a good deal. A good
deal. And he does have multiple versions of Pilgrim's Progress, and there needs to be a caveat here. I learned from Barry Horner years ago, who's an expert on John Bunyan and on Pilgrim's Progress, that there are versions of this work that are actually mutilations of it that should not be purchased or read. There's even a Roman Catholic version of Pilgrim's Progress, which obviously militates against the core message of that book, which is the grace of God, and militates against anything that a man could possibly believe could help him to merit his way to heaven. So also there's all other kinds of modernized versions that have destroyed the central message of John Bunyan. So be careful when you're purchasing Pilgrim's Progress, either in book form or in video form. And a very safe place to purchase a good edition of it would be solid-ground-books.com, solid-ground-books.com. And I want to make sure our listeners have your website for Christ Reformed Community Church in St. John's, Florida. It's ChristReformedCC.com. ChristReformedCC.com. How can our listeners listen to your podcast, Today in Church, His Story, HIS-STORY?
Yep, they can do that a couple of different ways. They can visit my personal website, www.heartaflame.org, heartaflame.org, HEARTAFLAME.org. You can access both my sermons and my podcasts there. Or if you are fancy and use Apple iTunes, you can subscribe by searching for Today in Church History. Just make sure you spell history, HIS-STORY, or it won't show up in, when you search for it.
Great. Well, it has been a joy, as it always is, when I interview you, Andrew. I look forward to your return to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and I'm waiting with bated breath to find out what moment in church history or landmark in church history we're going to address in the month of December. And I want to thank everybody who listened today, especially those who took the time to write in questions. And don't forget about our interview tomorrow with Gary DeMar on his new edition, his updated version of Last Days Madness. I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.